three or four of you on. It was like with something with friends, maybe.
Oh, Kyle.
Is it probably Kyle? Yeah.
Kyle, like the guest part one, that's like a 3-hour episode. Yeah. We had to split it. I think I was able to split it into two. Yeah, part one and part two, because we lost the audio at part one. That was a shit show. That was so fun. I'm glad you got to listen to something on the way over.
Yeah, because I was like, I've never heard of it. And so I was like, let me just get dialed in a little bit on the way over. Yeah. But I found it like just fine, which was okay. Cool.
That's awesome.
You told me we were talking about cars. I know how to do that.
All right, welcome back to Shifting the Gears. This is Kiyo Shinzaku. Today we don't have Mike. He's quarantining at home. Close family member got some COVID, so he's going to hang back and be safe. But today I'm joined by Royce Keating and
Adam Billings.
I'm going to remember your names. I'll remember Adam or Miata.
I think it's Bellings. I don't know why. I always think it's Bellings.
If worse goes to us, I'm saying, hey, Miata, and I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about. Ask him. I called him the kid with the Lexus for six months.
That was me. I was just the kid with the Lexus. There wasn't a whole lot done to that car.
Nope. Like, I didn't even know who you are. I was like, who the fuck's this dude with his long hair coming in? Like, the hell is this guy?
I think I met you back when I had the Echo, actually.
You did.
Way, way back. At, like, Hobby Lobby.
Oh, my God.
Lobby
that
meets.
Shit's pile.
Say, that sounds
so
like dark
fun.
Times.
That thing was such a piece of shit.
Hey, it got you going on a lot of different stuff on cars. So
it did. I learned a lot of little dumb things. It was my dumb car. It was my dumb slap a bunch of stickers on it, cut the mufflers off, and
it was so bad.
It was so bad, man. It was so. You'd just be happy you weren't around for that.
You would be so disappointed in watching
I'm
that.
So glad. I'm so glad you didn't know that. I'm so glad you know the E36. That one's a lot better.
Yeah. But sometimes you have to have those cars to just do stupid things.
Oh yeah, it was my first car. I was in high school. So like I just
excused. We'll give you the high school pass.
It was. Let's put it on the lift in the high school shop and see how many dumb things we can do to it within the 35 minutes that we have to work on it.
Oh my god! So we did this previously. How do you guys know each other?
So the first time we met, I had a bunch of used tires in my garage that I wasn't going to use because I had bought new ones. And I saw a post from some kid and I was like, oh, look for tires, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I've got like 5 15s if you want them. You can just take them for free. And yeah, Roy swung down and grabbed them.
Mm-hmm. I needed them because I was super, super broke at the time. And I was like, well, I planned on having to buy tires. And I was like, I'm going to just buy like a pair of like, you know, 205, 55, 15s or something, like, and see if someone has some. And he was like, yeah, I got a bunch of 195. 60s if you want to just take them. And I was like, yeah, I do. I'll see you today.
Like super tall eco tires.
Oh yeah. I mean, I only used them for probably a grand total of 5 minutes, if that, like 6 laps at GLD.
Yeah. But it's the 6 laps that were free, so.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the best part. It was 6 laps of free tires in the dry, because in the rain, and sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I'm not burning my tires through, but it's like, it's not really fun because you can't go fast.
It seems like an interesting introduction to you too.
Oh yeah,
it was probably saved him
like,
so much.
Like we had drifted at the track before. Like I had known. I saw he was like, yeah, he hit me up, and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely know this car. Like I've definitely driven with him before, but like we hadn't like personally met. Because, I mean, at the track, like, you're just trying to get as much seat time as you can. You just keep hopping back in line. You don't really hop out of the car a whole lot.
Yeah. I do remember the first time that we, like, tandemed mm-hmm. together. We were there early, I think. So it was, like, maybe 5-6 people there.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of people there. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I want to just, like, chase someone who, like, knows this layout well. And I can, like, try to figure out what line I need to take. So I was like, hey, let me just, like, I won't be, like, on your door. We'll just drive on the track at the same time.
Yeah, which is awesome. We spent, like, I know, like, Logan and I spent a lot of time working on that entry,
mm-hmm.
and it is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Is this at GLD?
Yeah, this is at Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin.
Is that the one that just got the new entry path?
Yeah, they got a new entry path, and then they also just got a new expansion that I was able to drive. I only did, like, 5 laps on it because I blew a radiator, but...
Yeah, shout out to Austin and Brad for running that because they do a great job.
Yeah, Austin Saul and Brad Johnson just make that whole program thrive.
Like, I know this much about drifting, other than it can be super fun, or walls hurt.
Walls do hurt, but it helps when there's not walls.
This is true.
Yeah.
Or their walls have, like, a bunch of gravel in between the track and the wall.
See, that's the kind of track I do, or big open parking lots, and...
That's pretty much what it is. It's not. It's just a skid pad. It's nothing crazy, but at the same time, like, it definitely... Like, a lot of people who first get into drifting find their way there, and it's just a super welcoming community. I mean, that's where I learned how to drift my car.
Okay. What was your first experience with drifting? Like, when you came in, was the community still really welcoming? And
yeah, so I was looking for, like, I had a super beater Miata before the one that I have now. It was like $500. We, you know, like the C, what do you call it? Like almost like rain gutter style from like side skirts on it. We just like self-tapped them into the bottom of the car. It was a ratchet.
First drift car.
First drift car. Open diff, like no angle. It was,
oh man.
It was crazy. But
how did you make that work?
You just throw it super hard, yeah, and then a lot of steering correction.
It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, and then like sometimes you would just, coming out of a turn, you would feel it like leaving. It would like going straight because one wheel was just spinning.
A lot of first gear stuff.
Oh, second. We just...
Second?
Yeah, before teens.
Wow.
So like you could burn 14s up.
Just roast them.
Yeah, it was...
That's how my car does. It was smaller, the smaller the wheel, the faster they just spin. It just turns into ice.
Yeah. But I was looking, I'm like, well, where do I take this thing, you know? And I found Drift Chi-Town on Facebook, and I like didn't understand that Drift Chi-Town and Test and Tunes were separate.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either, because I used to go to a bunch of the same events.
Yeah,
a bunch of the Drift Chi-Town events, and I was like, oh yeah, it's just drifting at Great Lakes Dragway. And I was like, oh, there's two separate programs here.
Yeah, so like the Drift Chi-Town stuff was cool, but then Test and Tune, I went one Thursday and I was one of five cars, and I was like, this is amazing. You know, I got like 40 laps in. There was no waiting, so I stopped going to Chi-Town stuff, and then just only went to Test and Tune, but everyone was super nice. Questions like, hey, how do you do this? And like, oh yeah, like, can we go for a ride?
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to bring that whenever I go now. As if like, oh, it's your first time or something. Like, hey, ride with me. I'll ride with you so you have a good time.
Like, they kind of get that experience, because like, the one thing I noticed, at least for the automotive scene, and I know you've seen the transition because you were there with me during this transition of behaviors.
Oh yeah, the behavior, the amount, the welcoming feeling of like, I used to be able to pull up to a car meet. I used to pull up to a car meet in that shitty little Echo.
And people would come out and be like, dude,
I remember,
it's a piece of
picture,
shit, but I love the stickers.
I used to have a picture of that car sitting next to a easily $100,000, 1,000 horsepower Supra. And the dude literally pulled up right next to my car and parked right next to it.
He's
and
like,
he hopped out and he goes, who's this? I gotta know. And I said, that's mine. And he just was like, you know what, man? Just keep doing whatever the hell you want.
Make sure you're facing the mic more.
Oh yeah,
because he does.
I know. I move around. I'm so bad.
We need to get a halo that just attaches to his shoulders, so no matter where.
And then we'll just have the mic hang in front of me like a carrot on a stick.
Or some sort of like mobile mic. You attach it to him, so wherever he turns.
We'll put it on my chest, and then put a GoPro on it too, so it'll be like all over.
I'd get nauseous watching that.
It'll be like from that one movie with Will Ferrell when he's all drunk and it's like, oh shit.
Oh my! Is that that's not news anchor. Newsman.
I don't know, man. It might have been Anchorman. I don't remember. We're gonna get too far down that road.
He gets drunk in a lot of stupid movies. Yeah, good catch.
we're gonna lose a lot of time to that one.
So a couple quick questions for you guys that I just marked down that kind of sparked off my head is, Royce, what do you do for a living?
So I work in a warehouse, and the funny thing is that I used to work at Advanced Auto Parts. I still do work at Advanced Auto Parts, but I started as a delivery driver making $9.25 an hour. And then I kind of just like slowly worked my way up. I transferred to a different location. I started making a little bit more, and then I jumped into the warehouse, and that was when I was able to like really start being able to like put money into my car. Like, I had bought my car when I worked in the store half, and I was making probably like $10-$11 an hour. Like, I mean, not a whole lot more, but I was getting a little more hours. Like, my paychecks weren't too terrible.
A little more consistency too.
Yeah, they weren't. They definitely were not great at all. But I was able to put enough money aside that I bought my car for like $900 off a guy who didn't speak English. And I had no idea it had a seized caliper, blown suspension.
You're like, parts?
It was automatic. It was completely stock. I was like, you know what? Like, it's a black E36 coupe. Like, it'll be, I can make it work. And so I picked it up. First thing I did was I had to swap that caliper, and then I got coilovers for it. And I just kind of slowly started working my way through that. And then as I was doing that, once I started doing like, so I had the coilovers and everything on while I was still in the store. And then once I transferred to the warehouse, that was when I started the manual swap on it. And that was when I started really like dumping, like got the angle kit for it, started, you know, redoing a bunch of suspension stuff, you know, I ended up having to buy another set of coilovers and like, so I mean, it's definitely, drifting is definitely a, if you don't work hard or do something where you at least make a little bit more, like it's going to be difficult, but not impossible. So like I had started, like the first half of my car was built on a part-time job, you know, not really making a whole lot of money. So it kind of just depends on what you put your money into and what you don't put your money into.
Yeah, because I say, I really don't see him go out and...
No, I don't go out anywhere.
Really, like, going especially, out to you is especially, a
night. Oh, yeah, especially since, like, I've, like, started building the car and stuff. Like, this entire summer, I'm 23 years old. I haven't been to a bar in probably a year and a half.
Thank you.
In probably over a year and a half.
I'm starting to get tired. It's fucking 11:53 in the morning, and I was starting to fall asleep.
It is. It is slightly early. Slightly.
So, Adam, what do you do for a living?
So, I'm a used car tech at Aston Martin Maserati.
Oh, what? Okay. I didn't know that. That's cool.
It's really cool. I got, like blessed with this job opportunity.
And how'd you run into that? Like,
So, I was working at a AAA as a technician. And I knew I autocrossed with this guy who's the sales... Not sales, service manager.
Okay.
At Aston Martin, and he was like, "Hey man, I'm looking for a used car tech."
You're like, "You
interested?"
Okay.
And I was like, "Is this a joke?
Like,
are you pulling my leg?"
Like, how funny! Like, I do you, like what?
So, what do you work on a lot then? Like Mercedes or?
Yeah. So it depends. Like, if we get some like
M3s and stuff,
kind of shitty trade-ins, like it'll be like, "Oh, like an Elantra," you know, or. But then I've also
Hey, new guy, come here.
Yeah, someone brought in their daughter's car to put on top of their like BMW or something. Like, yeah.
Exactly. But I also do like. Like, I had a Gen 1 Viper.
That's cool.
Yeah, a bunch of Corvettes, like Audis, Mercedes, BMW. I'm trying to think of any, like, crazy ones. Like, G-Wagons.
And do you just do, like, normal service on them? Just tune them up, oil change? Get them ready to sell? Get them ready to turn around and sell?
Yeah, so I do, like, an inspection on it, like a used car inspection. And then from there, if it needs stuff, then that gets done. If sales approves it. But, yeah, it's been this.
That's so cool. How long have you been doing that?
This will be, I'm up close to 2 years there.
Oh, wow.
Now, yeah. Which location are you at?
So I'm in Downers Grove.
Oh, I know exactly where you're at. Okay, at least I know if I'm going to buy a car from, I call it Dealership Row 2.0.
Oh, you know what? I think I do. Yeah, is that the one where it has all the fences in front of the dealerships?
Yeah, because a lot of them, it goes Toyota, Infiniti, used to be a BMW. Jag, Mercedes.
I used to work in Schaumburg, like, and there was a Porsche. And the dealerships would shuffle almost constantly.
Well, the BMW one, did they ever finish that one? I know.
Yeah, I was in there. Is it? Oh my gosh! So if you
it was a big fucking deal in the first place, but then they put the Porsche one up, and Porsche's just like big dick swinging in the whole neighborhood of like full glass front end.
Wow.
Like 7 car showroom, rotating assembly, TVs everywhere.
Yeah, that BMW dealership, their shop is insane. Like, I was there to pick something up, and I, like, looked down into their shop, because you can look into the shop from above.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
Just
wow.
Bays everywhere. They had the i8, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Like, their hybrid electric supercar. Yeah. And they're doing a battery on it, and you have to separate the chassis completely. And so...
Fuck that.
Yeah, and then for his hybrid battery, so it was all roped off with hybrid, like, electric tape. So no
one
would go over
there.
Yeah, those
are not a joke.
No, that's like... If you want
to
die.
They're pretty bad to, like, dispose of, too, actually. Yeah. I've heard they're actually a lot more, like their whole reason
They've
why they're...
gotten better when they first started making the Prius.
Yeah, you would have to the have Prius specifically, 30, I remember they... I remember I thought I saw years? Something where they said that they had to,
it was
like...
something stupid to...
Like, they literally, when they would take the batteries out of them, and, like, when they would, like, scrap the cars and stuff, and the scrapyards or whatever would ship back the batteries and, like, get their core charge and make their money, the batteries were literally just being put in, like, a place... And, like, left there because they didn't have any proper way of disposing them that was, like, legal.
Sketchy.
So they kind of just had to, like, stockpile them in, like, small amounts in multiple places.
One spark.
Just yeah.
It takes one spark.
Well, if you put them all together, the amount of radioactivity that would probably put off, like...
Well, because I know it was years ago.
A bunch
ago.
Of battery, old hybrid batteries just probably leaking like crazy and stuff. Oh, man,
that's
terrible.
Like, I'm worried about, like... If they, I'm sure they found a much better way to handle it because I know back.
I think that's why they're doing all these turbo four cylinders and all the new cars now. Everything's got a turbo. Everything used to have a high. I mean, everything has a hybrid still, but like everything now has a turbo four cylinder option or a turbo, you know, something turbo because it offsets the miles per gallon.
On that, I'm currently doing a motor on a four-cylinder turbo automatic Mustang because...
Stop okay. right there. First, you had me at...
Wait, like a new one? Like the new ones?
Yeah, it's but like a...
I had a buddy with a new one, and that thing was tuned up, and I'll tell you what, those things are quick.
So, I don't know what this kid did, but somehow, at 20 miles an hour, and I'm air quoting this, 20 miles an hour, he split the oil pan from side to side and halved a rod. The motor's like Swiss cheese.
Wow.
I was impressed. Wow. I was honestly impressed because it came in and he was like, yeah, there was a loud bang and then it didn't start again.
But yeah, because it could...
He's like, yeah, did you check the street behind you? Yeah, right? I don't know. I saw a pretty long line all the way down 59 on the way here. Just, and I was like, wow.
Behind me.
I was like, that is definitely a nice split in an oil pan.
Oh my God. So you work at a really nice dealership. You work at a warehouse like I do.
Yeah, I put boxes on pallets, but it makes me strong.
I just get to sit at a desk, type emails, and tell people what to do.
Dude, that sounds nice.
We're a little all over. We got a little bit of everything in the car community here. I feel like everyone.
Because I keep moving. I've almost fallen asleep at my desk when it gets a little slow, and I'm the only one in a really big warehouse. I think we're over 600,000 square feet or something, close to a mill. So
what kind of company is it? What do they do?
A shipping company for Samsung.
Okay.
So I'm a logistics lead.
Is it a lot of logistics stuff then?
Probably. Yeah. So like when all the lights shut off and you're the only person in that, like if you look at a warehouse, go to the absolute farthest wall and go to the farthest corner, and that's where I sit. Nice. I have our full cubicle desk that I'm the only one that's... Well, now I finally got a clerk, so we actually see people throughout the day. But yeah, no, I've definitely almost fallen asleep. That I've had to get up like, I'm going on break. Where are you going? I'm going outside to smoke. Because I need to stay awake. Like I said, those slow days where it's not quite... They don't quite need help, but I have enough emails to do. I'll actually call one of the guys over like, hey, Noma, can you send a driver over to... So-and-so, or I'll call one of the drivers of the intercom. Hey, somebody rolled through inbound just so they turn all the lights back on. I'm a lazy bastard. When I go. Well, you figure the aisles are probably 60 feet deep, or the between them. They're probably 60 feet between the posts. Mm. There's only a sensor in every aisle. So for me to turn on one section of the warehouse, I have to walk like halfway down the warehouse and come back. And then I have to go up the aisles and come down and do it again.
That's how mine is. When I worked in the store half of the warehouse I work in now, I always had to turn off the lights. And the lights were always, of course, on the opposite side of where the store entrance was. So I'd have to turn off all the lights.
And then run
back to the store in the complete pitch black in a giant warehouse. And it was on Sundays where there was nobody in there all day long. And you could just hear boxes falling off of shelves or things just... moving.
You're like, who's in here?
Yeah, it's just it's not an enjoyable time.
I wouldn't imagine. All right, so keep us going, Adam. What got you into the automotive scene, like the car world? I say automotive scene because I've already been called out once by somebody. There's more than cars. Like, I'm like, you
the
know
car
what,
car world.
He's like, you forgot about Utes. You forgot about this. I was like,
Yeah.
You've got a point.
It's got
to be correct.
The four wheel world. How about that?
Is four
that
wheel pedal
is that,
world.
Does that appease everyone?
Yeah. Someone will always find fault in it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, trucks are dualies, not four wheels.
Yeah. You know what? Jump in the comments. Put something.
Exactly.
You know what?
Throw
run them
below.
Up. Fuck it.
So, what got you into the scene?
So,
or the world?
When I was really, really young, like I watched NASCAR every weekend. I watched IndyCar. I watched F1. And I was like, five, I think I told my dad. I was like,
there's
Dad,
more in the fridge in the garage. Mini black.
I was gonna make one of those.
Yeah, go ahead. There's different sodas in the pops. Let me say pops because I'm from the Midwest. There's different pops. They should all be clean. They've all been sitting. Like I use those glasses the most.
What's this one?
Seagram 7. And the other one is a good mixer.
This one?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was like, Dad, I want to build an Indy car. And so I walked into the garage and like grabbed a bunch of wood and nails and started like trying to make an Indy car. And it didn't get very far. You know, I like laid it out on the ground and was like, wait, this doesn't look right.
Wait, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like 5-year-old Adam. But so I think ever since a really young age, and then like I played music as well growing up. So like that took a big chunk. Like for these people who are like, I was 16 and I got my first Civic and I started modifying it.
Garage as well.
Okay.
I didn't have that because I was so involved in music. Yeah.
But what did you play?
I play viola and violin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, I loved violin, but I gave up on it because my older brother was just he's one of those that he can try something, especially in art. He can try it and grab onto it really quick, but he'll sit there and he'll get, like, he used to get out of school. We used to get out at, like, 3 o'clock. He would play violin and not see his friends till he would play day in and day out. And he'd go all the same thing and just practice chords and getting this and that. And I wasn't quite that gung-ho about it. Like, I was like, my brother played. I want to play this. Like, oh, yeah. It sounds good. It's a great, like, really artsy. And I was like, I'm not the typical Asian guy who can play music. Like,
well, and it's like, you know, if he spent that much time, he probably got really good.
Oh, he got really good. Yeah. Like, he could pick up now within, give him a couple weeks, he'd be back, full rhythm going. But, like, violin, viola was just one of those. I liked him because I'm a small dude. Like, I'm a really small guy.
Uh-huh.
Not legally, not close to a midget. I'm not getting close to a legal midget. But it was, I could carry it, I could play it, I can control it. I didn't have to, you know, use my lungs too much. I could sit there and go, but I loved it. I loved the sound. It was great. But how long did you play that?
So I still play a little bit. So it's
more leisurely, just occasionally, or are you still?
Yeah, no, okay. Just like for weddings and that kind of thing.
Oh, no, nice.
Yeah, so I think like, 21 years? Yeah, I think 21 years now.
Top of the freezer. The mini black fridge. The bottom's a fridge, top's a freezer. For ice? Ice. Yeah.
Mixer.
Oh, kitchen.
Like Coke?
Yeah, sorry, kitchen. These aren't fully soundproof headphones, but it was enough that I thought he said ice. Anyways, like, yeah, so you were a kid, grew up on IndyCar, played a lot of music.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of, like, I hear people like, oh, they're, like, a 16. NASCAR.
Sorry, I had to correct myself.
Oh, whatever.
NASCAR,
IndyCar. Well, all of them, really. Okay. I like the crashes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I used to record for the crashes and then rewatch them, which really, in hindsight, is kind of dark, but it was, like, the most exciting thing. So
especially when you saw everything come to a standstill, and because that everything, all those cameras and all the attention went to...
Exactly, and like you had cars flipping, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is crazy."
The danger of it was attractive.
Yeah, but yeah. So at like 16, I didn't like get a car or anything because I was immersed in music. But then I got my first car when I was in college, so probably like early 20. I think I was like 21 or something.
Okay.
And then I was like, "Oh, cool!" I was on the forums and, you know, modifying my car and stuff. And then since then, it's been I think downhill.
An addiction.
It did.
I feel like all of us.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely like everything. Like I wanted to get a better job.
Here we go.
So that I could.
I'm gonna have to get a chassis.
I can hear them all of a sudden.
Yeah, just wrap it. Just tape it. Duct tape it to the side of my face.
So what got you into the automotive scene?
So I actually had a buddy. I was into cars kind of, but like I really didn't have any like friends that were into cars. And then Ross, I was in auto shop. I was in it was like the first level in high school. And so I was this kid, he was sitting there and he would always fall asleep in class, like always. And I was
sounds like him.
And I was like, man, I was like, why is this kid so tired all the time? Like, I know he knows a lot about cars. Like, that's all he cares about.
He was like, always up wrenching on something. Especially.
Yeah. Always. I mean, at the time he only had like a little Toyota Corolla, but like he made that thing probably one of the nicest looking Toyota Corollas you'd ever seen in your life. It was like, okay, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you are what you are, but like at least it looks good. Like it was a very, very clean car.
They got him to learn a lot about maintenance.
Yeah, we swapped the motor on that car.
Issues and.
And like those are the R&D. Good ones. I feel like early on in your career.
Oh yeah,
because
that was
like,
his first car. That's what got him into cars. Like
yeah, and you could beat on a Corolla relentlessly, mm-hmm. and it'll be okay.
As long as you, because he had the issue, the one that had the ring line issue that they
the 01
they,
the 01 Sport.
It. They fucked up the piston size, so they oversized the rings. So he's like, "What should I do?" I was like, "Well, until you get a motor, keep a fucking gallon of oil in your car, because how you drive this, every time you get gas." You need to check the oil.
Oh yeah.
He goes, really? I was like, yeah, you beat the shit out of your car. I've seen you.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I was right behind him in my little shitbox Toyota Echo. I would always be like, man, why does he get so tired? Like, what does he do all night? And so one day I asked him, and he said, here, just, I live like right up the street, like, come over after school and we'll just kind of hang out. And I was like, all right, cool. I went over there, like, first day I hung out with him, Thrace picks both of us up in the TC.
No, here, I'm going to move it so you can turn. Or you
Thrace picks, his brother picks us up in his absolute shitbox Scion TC.
When he first got it, it was a clean body.
It was a good car. But then he high schooled the fuck out of it.
He got a little too around bucks. He didn't want to get crazy with it.
He bought lowering springs, then he cut them, and then he bought wheels, and then he was putting short shifter kits that I don't even think were for that car.
No, the shift, he at one point did get a correct one, but he went to one of those, like, stage threes that were, like, eh. Like, I'm doing, like, jerk your wrist, and that's about as far as he had to move.
Yeah, like, it was, like, I drove the car. That was the first ever manual car I ever drove, and it was awful. It was just all bad.
Yeah, those short shifters can get really intense, and, like, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's really bad for your trans.
No, they usually are. I have a short shifter. I've actually have a short shifter in my drift car, and I know for a fact that it's a reason why, like, second gear gets a little... Cause I like the burnout in first and then jump into second and then go.
I like the light degree ones, the ones that aren't like 30 degree, like 5-10 degree decrease. Just
mine's pretty. Mine's pretty. I mean, you saw mine. Mine's pretty nuts.
Yeah, yours is ridiculous. Like on the MR2 when
I dailied that for
when I replaced the MR2 one. If I shift forward far enough, I can punch the dash. So I'm like, okay, give me like a 5 degree, you know, a 5 degree decrease in throw enough so I'm not punching a. Climate, you'll be turning the heat on every AC.
I used to have a Civic and I bought it with a stock shifter. The guy threw me like a Skunk 2 short shifter with it. I drove it home with the stock shifter. The next day I tore it apart with the short shifter and I was like, I cannot do this. This is awful. Because it's like a foot from third gear to fourth gear is a solid 12 inches in an E-case in a 97 Civic. It is not enjoyable.
Way too far.
It was just not fun. Luckily, they don't have a center console, but even still, it was just like, wham, wham. It was awful. It was so bad. That car was not the greatest.
I mean, it got you through your
I drove that car. I drove that car for an hour drive to work, hour drive from work every day for 8 months. So I cannot complain too much. And it was rust-free. Actually, after this podcast, I'm actually going to the person that I sold that car to buy a motor that I'm going to do some turbo things with.
Ooh. Intriguing.
Yes.
I'm very intrigued on what
that is. That's why I brought my truck and not my drift car today. I'm leaving from here to go get that.
Well, that's gonna help us cover another segment in a minute. So this one should be fun for you. I know your vehicle history pretty quick. It's not too crazy. What is your vehicle history? If it's ridiculously long, pick out like your first car and your favorite cars, but
yeah, so it's,
and then obviously your current car or project cars, whatever you have.
Yeah, so it's not super long, but
good God,
yeah.
mine's only like six, but like there's a couple repeats. I'm not gonna lie,
I think I'm around there. So I started with a 2010 Subaru Impreza hatch or a wagon or whatever, non-turbo, stick shift with a black obsidian pearl.
If that says anything at all.
Oh yeah,
or the driveway.
I saw it in the driveway. It's a huge Subaru fan. Like I liked it a lot, and like I had it, loved it, and then I moved out of my parents' house, and it was like, well, finish the car payment or pay rent. So I had to I traded it in, and then this started like, I don't know. I went down the rabbit hole here. So I traded it in and got a 05 GTI.
A bad change.
No, it was actually cool, and I've got it. I was also looking at a Forester, and they were both straight trades because like I was so far into the Subaru that it was worth more than I owed, basically. So they were like, yeah, it's a straight trade. I'm like, cool. So I got the 05 GTI. When I had that, I bought a 97 GTI VR6 Driver's Edition.
Cool.
I didn't know what I had because like, I just bought it from my friend, and she was like, give me like $500 for it.
Every person listening to this right now that's a GTI is like, what the fuck? No,
everyone's mind just blew.
I'm like, what? I'm not a huge GTI. Like,
I'm not a huge Volkswagen geek either, but I know what that is.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
I had no idea, but it was cool, and it like did burnouts, and I was like, oh, this thing's...
I bet it did.
Yeah, so this thing's cool, so I bought it, and it was kind of rusty. It was really rusty, but I was like, I want a dedicated autocross car.
And so, what's better than a... a Swiss cheese GTI that somehow doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, it was amazing. So that car was like one of my favorites I've ever had. Like,
and she didn't know what it was. I guarantee she didn't beat on it.
Oh, she was the one who did burnouts in it.
Oh man,
that's one badass.
She's awesome, Sophie. But so she did like burnouts in it. I was like, this thing's cool. I want it. So I bought that, and then I had those two. I didn't like the 05 GTI as much as I thought I might. And I was like, oh, like it was making some weird noises. So I traded it in, got an 07 GTI.
There's also a root beer in the fridge.
Hmm?
There's also a root beer.
I know, that's what I put in here. It's very delicious.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. You're good. So I had those two, and that's when I got my first 99 Miata.
And that was the super rust one. That's where the rabbit hole starts.
Yeah, so then, like, we're almost there. So I had those three. Then the VR6 blew up, so I parted it out. Which was a really sad day. It blew up at like 5 miles an hour, turning into a parking garage.
It's not like you got to run out of it.
It was just like, all right. It was like, I'm sorry, man. I can't hold on.
She's like, I'm done. This is it. It's been a good run.
It's like, let me get the
drive and
get home.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So then I had the 07 and the 99. And then I got an 03 325i. Like automatic, but it was just super like comfortable. It was kind of nice. Sold
what
that.
What color was it?
It was like dark gray.
Oh my god,
that's a good color.
Sorry, I'm ADD. I have to look at the cars on here as we go.
No, that's fine. So that was.
That's why I pulled this one out.
I had those three, and then sold that one to my sister. Yeah.
We'll go over this. We'll go over this gift from Royce later today, because I think I see two people I know on this.
That's cool.
On this one.
Heck yeah!
I've been in a couple.
So
of
you
cars.
Got the first Miata.
Yeah. So I've got. Then that
sticker,
Miata.
Sticker auto.
So far, everything's been stick except for the BMW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say the same.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You had to... Was it Miata to BMW or Miata, BMW, Miata?
Miata, BMW, Miata. Because I found a hole in the...
Did you only have one car, like, at all times?
No, so I've had three cars.
At once?
Since, like, I don't know, it's like 5 or 6 years ago, I think. Since I got... The
so you got Miata. The Miata, the Jeep, and the what?
Oh, yeah. So right now I have the red Miata and the Jeep. I have Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. The
it looks kind of neat.
It's never had an SUV.
Looks
and
comfortable.
And it is awesome.
Looks like it's probably not a bad time.
No, it's my wife and I like are in on that together. And she was like, I want something that's like, I want an SUV. It's something I feel safe in. And yeah, we got this heated seats. Like,
he's
like,
got all the options and stuff.
Oh, it's a V6 with a towing package. So with the correct trailer,
four-wheel?
Yeah. It's got the locking rear end.
I could see him like, if we're getting an SUV, we're getting something I want to be in.
Yeah, and it was that.
You tow the Miata with it?
I can if I get the correct trailer.
Wow,
that's
got to be super lightweight trailer. I've looked into this.
Like, do you have to go with those all aluminum?
Yep. So I forget my buddy sent me the link. I forget the name of the company. But it's a 768
Featherlight
pound.
Trailers?
Nah, I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. I can text him, but it's like a 768
pound. Send me the link
to that.
I got a V6
wow.
It's super light.
That's
it's like,
as much as my fucking frame in the garage.
Yeah, it's like $7,000, I think,
that,
so it's
way.
Super expensive.
Wow.
But the Jeep will tow 4,500 pounds. So
that plus the car.
Plus some wheels
tools.
And tires. It's like, let's go.
You can stretch it a little bit.
I don't know, man.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
I got an old truck. I've been debating on it. I could probably get away with a dolly, but I mean, it's a 92 C1500. It's rear wheel drive and a V6. So
I take towing capacities pretty seriously because like that could be a big accident.
This is very true.
What you could do is a dual dolly system.
Well, my plan with the truck is to kind of just go through it. I want to repaint it within the next couple of weeks here, and then put a V8, put a 305 in it, and have it
carb up. Or fuel.
Probably carb, honestly, just because the guy that I know who does the 305 swaps always puts in a carbureted motor.
I like
just because it's just easier for him to figure out and set it up. He can just set it up and go, all right, yeah, cool, go drive 100,000 miles.
I mean, if he's been doing them for long enough, you find those tricks of the trades to find that nice balance.
Oh, yeah, he's done it. He has 8 cars, and every single one of them has a Chevy 305 in it. And it's like Monte Carlos, pickup trucks, like all sorts of different stuff.
Well,
it's
we
like,
have rookie numbers, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, I got rookie numbers, too. I've only had, let's see here. So I've had that shitty Echo, and then I had...
No, I mean, does he currently have 8 cars?
Yeah, no, currently, yes.
That's
yes.
why we have rookie numbers. We need to step that shit up.
I finally made it down to
I
two.
Have, I have so long. I have three. I haven't been at three for a while, but I have three right now. I have the truck, I have my drift car, and then I also have a completely rust-free E36 convertible shell that I'm actually gonna that's what I was talking about the motor for. I'm gonna I was gonna start pulling apart the coupe and
I'd say keep go driving through it for another season.
I'm gonna keep it together because at the end of the day, if I don't finish this turbo build in time, I don't want to not be able to go to the track.
And it'll be a
and this thing, I've driven this car to the track probably over 30 times, drifted there, you know, probably close to 30. There's a couple of times that I went and I didn't drift, but for the most part, like every time that I've been like, yeah, I'm gonna drive to the track, I'm gonna drive back, like. I really haven't had an issue other than this most recent time where I blew a my radiator mount kind of decided to leave the chat, I guess you could say, and just came undone. Radiator smacked the fan and popped itself. So
that's a brutal day, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and then it kind of sucked because, like, so I popped – it happened at, like, 3 o'clock, right? And so I spent, like, an hour and a half, like – I was driving other people's cars. I was just kind of trying to, like, have a good day. And then I was like, okay. Because at that time, I was trying to epoxy the radiator back together. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to drive home on it. Like, it'll be all right. And then I got to the point where I was looking at it, and I was like, I ran out of JB Weld. I ran out of this other epoxy stuff that I had. And I was like, this is not going to work. So I ended up calling my buddy, and I said, hey, my buddy here said that he has a radiator sitting in his garage. Can you go grab it for me and bring it up? So that's what I ended up having to do. So by the time he got there and with the radiator, I mean, I think I was I started installing it right as they had the last lap for everybody at the track. So I was like, at the end of the day, if I can get home, I'll be happy. And then I started driving home and I was like, all right, yeah, everything feels right, you know, and out of nowhere, my idler pulley decides to just destroy itself, just leave my car completely. All of a sudden, it feels like I just, like, ran over something, and I'm like, I don't like that sound. I don't think that's a good sound, and it is a very good thing that I pulled over, because I did, and it was just the inner race of where the pulley goes onto the bearing.
Wow.
It was just the inner race, and the belt was going right around it, and it had this big old line through it, and I was like, ooh. Because I was going about 80 miles an hour on the highway when that happened. And, I mean, the car didn't change a whole lot. You can run an E36 without an idler pulley. That's actually how I ended up getting it home. I just took it off.
And Royce was like, can I push it? Should I?
And no. I'll tell you what, though. Hey, I'll tell you what. Ever since I took that idler pulley out and drove it home, I've taken that car a couple times to a couple warehouses in Mexico, and it has performed very, very well. If anything, the one time the tires let me down, but other than that, that car is still ready to rock as much as it ever has been.
So on that E36, that is my third car coming up here.
Yeah.
Acquiring a 96 four-door, and I'm super pumped about it because
the sedans are nice. Yeah. I want to build a sedan because they have the door frame, like the coupe. They're open stiffer. The door and it's just window
by a chassis, it's like a little bit stiffer, so
yeah,
technically that's kind of, and I think they're just about the same length.
Every single E36 chassis, no matter what, from the convertible, compact, with the hatchback, the coupe, and the sedan, and the wagon, the wheelbase is the same across all chassis.
Yeah, so super pumped about this. It's gonna be the seat time car.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Are you gonna be back at some?
Well, you see them at the track. They everyone in an E36, they do a lap, they get back in line. It's one of the 240s have slowly kind of worked their way out of being like the most common car at the track, and now you see a lot of E36s
and
350Zs.
Especially here in Texas.
Texas, Florida, like it's a whole VQ party.
Yeah. I'll say that was my next statement about that was the G35 350 is I feel like is going to be the next
240
because you can get a really good running one for $4,000.
Yeah, but at the same time, There was a time when 240s were, like, my buddy Ross, I was telling you about, he picked up a coupe one time for like $1,200. Yeah, like it was, and it ran, drive, drifted. Like, obviously, it wasn't perfect, but at the same time, like, that's kind of like the E36 world now. I think the E36s right now are probably one of the most easily accessible drift chassis.
Yeah. Just, and they're easy to mess with. The G's.
It's so easy. And that's I'll tell you this. Anybody who's listening, if you are ever afraid of BMW, do not be afraid of an E36. That car is extremely simple.
They're really easy to work on.
Easy to work. I had IS300s before, and I had to give up on them because the problems got too out of hand, and I ended up selling them back or selling them off. And I'll tell you right now, an E36, like, it's nuts and bolts. It's genuinely just nuts and bolts. And there's more YouTube tutorials than you could ever watch, you know, than in a reasonable amount of time. People have been messing with these things for years.
I can definitely see that. Like, I definitely see that being the case.
I'm a big voucher for everyone should. If you're a drifter, you should pick up an E36 just to fuck around with.
I'll even go this far, though, too. Like, if you're looking to get into drifting, get something that's rear-wheel drive and just do it.
Yeah, and it, like, doesn't necessarily have to be manual off the bat.
Save that. That's actually one of my next questions.
Awesome, because I have a lot to say about that.
Oh, thank God. Because you know what? I do as well.
So what's your most... You said you own the Jeep.
Yep.
The Miata, and you're picking up another BMW.
Yeah.
So that'll put you back to 3, so that'll give you car number 7. All of them being automatics except the... being manuals except the automatic BMW
and the Jeep now. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's a daily. I took it out of the question.
Yeah, that's the day to day.
So I think I think that is 7. I could be wrong, but
I think so. I think that, yeah.
When you get the next BMW, that should put you at number 7.
Three Volkswagens.
Two Miatas.
The Jeep. The BMW. This will be 8.
Hold 8.
God. So this will be number 8.
I missed a Volkswagen then.
The 05, 07, and the 97.
And the VR6, yeah. Okay, yeah.
See, I didn't hear
now these numbers are adding up.
Okay, there you go. I had everything else. And your current car is...
So right now I have the drift car, the E36, and then I have the Vert, which is just right now it has no rear end in it. No transmission in it. The door is actually... So the car is in one place. The door is in my basement. The driver's door. It has no interior in it. It's a complete shell, but with a motor in it. Just a motor. That's garbage. But it is 110% rust-free. I pulled the manual swap out of that, pulled the rear end out of that, put it in my drift car, and I have yet to find rust anywhere on that car.
Step 1, clean it. Step 2...
Oh, yeah. Oh, a whole lot of power washing and
a lot of a cage.
that's the biggest thing is that car. I mean, convertibles, a lot of, like, Great Lakes Dragway doesn't, they're not, you know, super picky. Like, oh, you have to have a cage if you have a convertible. But at the same time, like, I want a cage because I have a convertible.
You would like to live.
The hard top for E36 is fiberglass. I don't even own one yet. So I'm definitely going to put a cage in that car. That's the car that I'm going to do right, because I've done that car so wrong ever since I bought that car. I got it for $600 from a buddy of mine. Didn't even know it was rust free. He's like, yeah, it's pretty rusty. He didn't know a whole lot about cars. I mean, he had cool cars in his past, but he had like a Turbo Miata, and then he had like a Corolla wagon with like a front end swap. Like, it was cool. He's had cool cars, but he was just so out of his realm when it came to this BMW. He didn't even want a wrench on it. He got it from a family friend for a deal. It had like 190,000 miles, you know, and he was just kind of like, whatever. It was black interior manual, silver, with a black top on 16-inch BBS snowflakes, actually.
Oh, that was my adjusting handle, because I bumped it. I was like, what the
fuck? I was like, what is that noise?
I was like, what's going on? But he ended up selling it. He had it posted for a lot more, and he knew that I wanted to manual swap my coupe really, really bad, and I was actually about to buy a manual manual transmission for $700.
And you got a whole
car. And I got the entire car for $600.
That's a steal. So what's your other car you got?
So then I have I just picked up a 92 C1500, which is like a Cheyenne Chevy, and that's got a V6.
For those who don't know, that's an old
Silverado. Yeah, an old Sierra. even older.
Oh, you have the GMC, right?
No. So this one, like I said, this one's still the Chevy, but it's a 92, so it's the last generation of the old body style, air quotes, OBS, because a lot of the OBS community doesn't consider it OBS.
You can't
but
say OBS.
It's just,
I think Outback Sport.
It's boxy. It's got square headlights. Like, it's an old Chevy. Like, it's an old, it's an OBS Chevy. But, I mean, that thing, I picked that up. I got that one for a steal, too. I got that one for $400.
I hate you so much right now. I swear to God, I hate you so much.
And I've been daily driving that thing for about 3 weeks now, and I have yet to find the only, okay, I take that back. There's two issues with it. There's only two issues with it. It doesn't have a radio, and it doesn't have fourth gear. But it has it has overdrive, so, and third gear works terrific
so
up to 60.
So Bluetooth and, you know, like whatever.
Oh, well, the drift car doesn't have a radio, so I just use the same speaker out of the same Bluetooth speaker out of the drift car and throw the truck. I got that thing.
Fiberglass.
I'm skinny. I'm like 150 pounds. When I'm sitting in that big old, it's a single cab, so it's a bench seat. When I have a solid 11 inches from my leg to the door, and I have another 11, or I have like 13 inches from my leg to the shifter. So like I'm just I have more space than I know what to do with. So I just try to fill it up. I got coats. I got the speaker.
Shoes.
Just because if something hits me, man, I'm going flying in that cabin. Like it is not that seatbelt. Like yeah, it kind of works, but like I'm not gonna trust it. I'm gonna push off the steering wheel if something happens. You know.
These like $500 cars are just the best.
Oh yeah, the Vert was probably like one of the best. One of the best hookup licks, whatever you want to call it, I ever got.
Yeah.
Because that one was, like I said, he didn't even know it was rust free. I mean, the motor wasn't too great when I pulled. When I was pulling all the injection plug, spark plugs and stuff, everything was just covered in oil. And I mean, but the chassis was rust free. I mean, you can swap a motor, you can't swap a chassis. So that's my whole thing.
If you have enough money, you can do whatever.
Oh yeah, I mean you can clean up any chassis. Nothing. I mean,
me either.
It takes a lot for me. I mean, my coupe is pretty rusty. It's not terrible, but at the same time, like I'm gonna get some stuff welded back together and plates welded into it so that I can, you know,
continue using that as your
drifting. Exactly. So that I can keep it around as long as I can. But I'm not, you know, that convertible. I mean. Even I'd probably do like a thin undercoating on it because I mean once that's turbo and built and has a cage and everything, like I'm not going to be dailying that car. It's not going to spend a whole lot of time on the street with an opportunity for someone to crash into it. So I'm just gonna beat on it. You know, that's just gonna be the fancy, air quote, the fancy thrash car, Turbo E36. A lot of people will go, oh wow, that's easy, that's cheap. All right. It's like
it's just a plunger. All right, so for the winter coming up,
yeah,
I know you're gonna be working on touching up the black.
Or do you want me? Do you want to talk about that, or do you want me to talk about my history, my car history?
Oh yeah, we skipped.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Let's go through yours quick.
Okay, I'll go through mine really quick because I've already talked about the Echo, and then so after I had the Echo, I had a black IS300. That's what I meant. That's what you knew me probably best for.
This is when I actually started coming around the shop because I used to run a location, and he actually started coming around more often. That's when I started talking to him more, and he started opening up because for a while he came in.
Oh, I would just come in, and I was just annoying as shit.
Well, that and he, like, everybody put out the fear of God of, like, he was fucking terrifying. Of when it came to work, it was get the fuck to work. Like, we had stuff to do. Like,
oh, yeah, that shop was ran very, very tight.
I was, for a while, it was good, and then I went to a negative space and came back, and I'm doing much better at this place because I learned a lot of lessons during that time.
Well, I mean, that was a small mom-and-pop auto shop.
Yeah. You know? And but, then it expanded out. Now they own like
Now they're bigger.
Six locations, multiple. I think they own two repair shop and a really nice car wash and detail center.
Very nice. But yeah, so then I had the black IS300. I mean, I didn't do a whole lot with that. It was automatic. It was a 2001. Anyone who knows about IS300s know they didn't make a manual 2001. They only made manual 02 to 05. And then, so then my second, and then after that.
The bodies confuse me. Like, it's those little stupid things that I don't know.
It's little, it's not even, like, exterior stuff. Like, it's just, it's pretty much all interior. Like, it's like an armrest, and it's the fact that they made manual in one year, not the other.
Give me a manual, and I have the Rolex gauges, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely, that was the car, to me, that was the car that I was like, wow, like, this thing is not only very, very nice, but extremely fun to drive.
I also have bitters and stuff if you want to.
Oh, I should have one of those.
But so I started kind of not really doing a whole lot with that. Just kind of drove it around a lot. Did a lot of burnouts. Did
it's
a lot
so
of donuts.
With the headset on.
and then after that, I ended up blowing the transmission on. I essentially blew the motor on. The head gasket was toast, and it was just the oil pan gasket was.
It was
non-existent.
You would have had to really want to save this car to put
it was,
the work into it.
Well, at the time, I also didn't know a whole lot about cars. And so, like, I went to Firestone, and they were like, yeah, it's going to cost $4,000 to fix this. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Would
so.
You, if you had the car now, would you put the effort into
it? Oh, yeah. I plan on, I have the insurance card from that when I had that car. And I definitely plan on going back and trying, because the VIN's on it. So I plan on owning that car again and fully, I mean, it was rusty when I had it. It's probably going to be rusty before, but I will give that car every single bit of attention because that was the car that I owe a lot to. I met a ton of the car community with. I was known for having that car for a very long, I mean, even everyone knew me for the Echo, but like everyone was like, yeah, whatever. It's
like,
it's just
like
annoying.
This is where he started really, like really maturing of,
yeah.
I really want to learn about cars.
I want a serious car. I don't want just something that I kind of just cut the muffler off and fuck around with. Order eBay.
There's like definitely a time to fuck around with your car.
Oh yeah.
Like my first Miata was like that. We were doing just really dumb things to it.
Yeah.
Before
that's what my
I
Echo
made it
was.
Into a drift car.
Yeah.
Even then it was still like, oh, what's this? We need an exhaust for it. Here's a Mini Cooper exhaust. Let's jam it on the back. Cool. Let's go. You know what I mean?
There you go. And then I had that. And then I sold that to a dealership for $500. And I was extremely upset about it because it was so beaten to hell. And my buddy goes, dude, I had $500 that week. I would have bought it off of you and held it and sold it back to you for the same like a couple months later. But my mom was like, if I'm going to throw you... you know, some money for a car, like, you're going to get what I want. And I ended up getting, like, a Mazda CX-7. And that was super, super boring. I drove that car for 360 days. I made sure not to drive it for a year. And then guess what? I bought another IS300. I bought a 2002 Gunmetal IS300 on Patura Sport wheels. It had 255s in the rear. And
this is the one I was like, I read
that was the gray one.
I was like, I'm so proud of
you. Yeah, that was when I was like, I'm back. And I was super, super excited about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, do all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. I bought it without a bumper. I got it for super cheap. It was still automatic, but, like, I was just excited to have another IS300.
It was also super hard to find a manual, so.
Oh, well, the manuals, the tax. So I bought that second one. The first one I bought for.
They're, like, the weird spot where it's, like, 4K for the lowest one. And then, like, oh, it's got a manual, 8K automatically.
Oh, dude, not even that. Dude, I bought my first one for, the black one for $2,700. And then I bought, and that one had like 230,000 miles on it. It was old. Yeah, I thought I was still cool.
But Toyota.
But 2JZ. Not even Toyota. 2JZ. I was like, oh yeah.
Twice the J's.
I'm the 2JZ rear wheel drive. I'm the best. And
it's about as old as he is now.
Yeah.
I love JZ, but that man's getting some age. Sorry. Go ahead.
And so then I had the Gunmetal IS300, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do all this, that, the other. One day, I was at work, turned the key, didn't start. I was like, what? Started messing around with stuff, couldn't figure it out. That day, it was like a crazy blizzard. I had just driven it all the way to work. I kept getting stuck in the snow, so I was like hopping in and out of the car a lot. You know what my dumbass did? Because of all the snow on my shoes, it got up into the wire. It didn't have the undercover dash panel. Got up into the wires and corroded out like because the salt and I mean obviously Chicago
so much shit up.
Yeah, got up in there and within 6 hours corroded one wire, but guess what, it was just the right wire. And I didn't know anything about I'd already owned the black Lexus for like a year, but it had been a year since I had driven that. So I was just like, I can't figure this out. I was trying a bunch of different stuff. I was talking to the guy I got it from. He's super into IS300s. He literally tears them apart, puts them back together, resells them. Like that's like all he does. But he's actually an incredibly great friend now. But I ended up hitting him up and I was like, hey man, I can't figure this out. Like I don't know what to do. He goes, well, how about this? Take 48 hours with the car. If you can't figure it out, I'll buy it back for what you paid for it. And then I'll also give you the money on top for the brand new bumper that you just put on it. Because I bought it without a bumper. So I paid like $250 to have a bumper put on. Like I bought the bumper and then I had it paint matched. So, like, I had a brand new, really nice bumper on it, and they ended up being like, he ended up giving me everything back because I just couldn't figure it out. Took it to our other buddy. It was there for 5 minutes.
He's like, found the wire, asshole.
It literally was there for 5 minutes, and he figured it out, and it was like, he charged him like $4 for the fix. Like the cost of like a spool of wire. Like that was it. He literally actually, I think it was like a connector or something. He like pulled the pin out the back and like put a new pin on it and like cut the wire back, put something else on it and plugged it back in. Car started right up. He sold it, but then so I bought it for $2,000 and he gave me $2,200 back. He turned around, he sold that car for like $3,700 because that car had 156,000 miles on it. And he sold it to me for $2,000 just without a bumper.
$2,300 back. Give me that fucking car.
Yeah. But at that point, I had already gone out. I bought my 97 Civic. Okay. And so that was Echo, IS300, Mazda, IS300, Civic. So we're at 5. And then, oh my God, I'm higher. I'm higher than I thought I was too. Okay then. So then I had the Civic for a while. I drove that around for a long time. Drove that from Naperville to Schaumburg for 10 months. It's an hour on 53, no highway.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
If awful. You are from Illinois, you know that road.
What that is, like, it is a one lane road with 45 mile an hour speed limit the whole way.
Get that one section of.
Until you're on the frontage road next to the highway, then you can get up to like 50.
Or you get lucky, or you hop over and you hit the one section on that tollway you can get without tolls.
Oh, I never even played that game because I'm so bad about going back and paying tolls. If I run them, I'm like, damn, I just let it stack up. I'm terrible about it. And then I call them and I go, yeah, I messed up. And then I talk, and this sweet talk my way down to like.
A same. Reasonable amount.
Yeah, I got like
this a couple times because like.
Oh yeah, I racked that up to like $2,700, and I was like, I'm not doing that. And then I ended up paying like $65.
Yeah.
Like it's like you wrecked.
The
bastards.
iPass is like I have one iPass for all the cars. So if I like I forgot to put the iPass and I'm going to a drift event, I just let them run up. Then they send you the tickets, and then you call them and you're like, I don't know what happened. Like,
I have
my
this
iPass was mounted up there and it just didn't read it. And they're like, oh yeah, we see you have an iPass cleared.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So lucky.
So then I had the Civic, and then I was driving that back and forth a lot, and then that started kind of. I bought it freshly manual swapped, and it was just the trans, no wiring. Still had an automatic cluster. Still had the fat brake pedal, just an added clutch pedal. It was done.
He didn't even cut the pedal down?
No. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
My idea might be.
But I drove it like that. I didn't mess around with it because like I did like exhaust and like a couple other little things like and I cleaned up a lot of like the bullshit that like was done to the car. I bought the car at night. It was raining. Like it was 100% rust free though. That's the thing. I'm a big fan of rust free cars. Like unless it has to be a really good deal for me to get it. And that's where and then that leads us to the BMW, the coupe. So the coupe I bought with 136,000 miles for $900. Now, if you know E36s, that does not happen. Like
bro,
if you're going to
get
a $900 E36, it's going to
$900.
It's going to have 236,000 miles.
It's like half a 240 shell.
Oh yeah.
A third.
And it was a little rusty. It was a little rusty, but I took it for a test drive and the caliper didn't seize until I got it home.
It didn't fall apart on the test drive.
And
so
it didn't, and it felt like, he was like, yeah, the rear shocks are blown. And I was like, okay, I can definitely feel that. I was like, but I was going to buy coilovers for it anyway. So I was like, I don't really care. And I had the Civic, so I drove the Civic for a while. And then, so I bought the BMW sometime in October. I was like, yeah, I bought a bunch of snow tires for the Civic. I was like, yeah, I'm going to drive the Civic all the time in the winter. And then every time it snowed, I drove the BMW because it was a rear-wheel drive and I wanted to slide around everywhere.
You're a nutbag.
So literally every single day that it snowed, the Civic sat. And then I slowly started falling more and more in love with the BMW. And I was like, okay, yeah. Like I'd gotten back from – the whole reason I got it was I got back from grid life of that year. And I was like, you know what? Like I'm going to start – like I'm going to pick up something like a rear-wheel drive chassis. Like I'm going to start doing this. Like let's pick up something that like – is easy, has a lot of aftermarket options. You know, I did a bunch of research.
Affordable.
I was looking at a $1,200 rusted to all hell 240 coupe that I almost bought for like I said, $1,200 instead of my E36. And that was the best decision I ever made, was not buying that car, because I guarantee that car would have just absolutely fell apart. The guy said, yeah, I drove it for a while, started making a noise, so I just parked it. And that's a dangerous game to play in the 240 world, because that could be a knocking motor or, you know, some bent lifters, like any, it could be a whole,
it could be anything.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a whole list of things. So I was in, cause I've had, obviously I had friends who've had 240s and I've worked on 240s. Like I know like the common stuff that goes wrong with them. And I was like, this one's probably going to cause me some issues. Like, and at the end of the day, like if I would have bought that car, I probably would have been replacing a motor. And right now, the way my car, my E36 coupe sits, I'm $3,000 into that car with the purchase of the vert. Because I count that because I got the manual trans from it. I did the whole manual swap. I had to, halfway through the season, I had to swap.
That's not bad, man.
I had to swap the whole rear end. Like, but I'm only $3,000 into that car. Like, right at $3,000 with the angle kit. I don't count tires, because tires, you're going to spend no matter what chassis.
You can count the wheels, but
no matter what. No, yeah, yeah. The wheels, the wheels are accounted in that. But the tires, you're going to use those no matter what chassis you have. So it doesn't, in my opinion, you can't really add it into the total. Oh yeah, this car cost me this amount. Well, yeah, you're gonna, if you add the probably $1,500 worth of tires that I've gone through, if not maybe like $1,200, but so, still definitely over $1,000. Definitely over $1,000.
I actually did something this past year, is that I calculated. So I have the total cost, including all parts that I reused from different builds of my Miata, and what it cost to run it this year. And how much it was per lap.
Ooh, let's talk about that, actually.
Yes, so this is, I was like, at the beginning of the year, I wanted to know, like, how much am I spending to go drifting?
Yeah, that's because that's the question that everybody asks. Oh, well, that's why, and that's why I know that number, that $3,000 number. That's why I know that so well, because when people ask, oh, how much did it cost to, you know, put your car together? $3,000.
So I actually do count. I counted brake rotors.
This helped
rotors.
Answer part of a question later, so I'm glad you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, yeah. So I counted, like, everything. Brake rotors, oil, tires. I counted...
See, I got lucky because I had the parts car, so a lot of the stuff I was able to swap over. That's why I added the whole parts.
Yeah, and so I did that with my first Miata too. Like the rear subframe in my red one is from the blue one.
Mm-hmm.
So what it came out to is including all the parts for the turbo build.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you turboed it?
Not yet.
Turbo
it's,
wing.
It's happening now.
Oh, it's happening now. Yeah.
So
we're gonna have to.
Yeah, we're going. We're
you both back. So when I can get us another mic.
Oh yeah, we'll do like a checkup. We'll do like a. All right, how far along are you? You know, through your actual build. You said you were going to do this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a... Oh, man.
So, big moves.
Oh, yes. Big power moves.
Actually, that's a great question. Like, so this is part of what you're going to do over the winter to your project. All right, cool. Keep going.
So, it came out... I spent... If you count all of the turbo parts that aren't even on the car, they're, like, in my room. Turbo parts, like wheels, tires, brakes, entire car, it was $34 a lap. And I ran 390 laps.
Wow.
This year.
Treat yourself tomorrow.
I think I'm going to have another. That was very tasty.
Yeah.
So Royce is like, getting another whiskey. We've all got whiskey. Me and Royce cut off a beer.
It's the way to go.
It is.
On a side note, the tradition here we have is you start the podcast with a shot and a beer. I pull mine to a glass so I can sip on it.
Yeah.
Mike just goes, boom. All right, let's go. I'm like, sir,
drink.
Slow down.
Mike can drink. I've seen Mike drink.
Keo can drink over an extended amount of time. Keo can't drink as fast as everybody else.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yes. So keep going. So you're building the turbo kit. You've calculated it. You said $34 per lap drifting.
But, and again, so it would be a lot less if I didn't count all the parts that like aren't on the car.
What would you say it costs? You know, we'll keep going. I'll ask you that question later. Thank you for your name. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, where do you want to go? Like, build or?
So, like, as far as, like, what projects you have for all your vehicles over winter, and I'd even say if you're planning to purchase that BMW over winter, you could even include that of purchasing a new chassis, turbo, like, whatever it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your project car section.
Awesome. So
that's part of our big thing we like to do is keep up to date on people's project cars. So we'll definitely have to have you back on that because, man, this is going to have me. After we get off this, I'll have to show you what I've been working on.
Yeah, for sure. So the BMW, I'm definitely buying. It's going to be – I want to build that as a like seat time, a little bit of a style car because my Miata is definitely more like – it's not a style car.
It's a function car.
It's a function car. So and it has style for sure because I – You know, I like the way things look and stuff, but like it has a big dent in it right now because I hit I hit somebody or they hit me, and it was like, you know, it's like, well, that it's not structural, so it's fine. But so I'm gonna get the BMW. It's an auto, so I'll have to manual swap it. But that is back burner. Like, get the car, kind of like fix it up a little bit, and then kind of tuck it away. The Miata in the off season is getting, we're stock motor for now. We're refreshing it, like with head studs and gaskets and stuff, and then it's gonna get a turbo on it. And but with that, I really want to do it correctly, because the goal is for this to be a Pro-Am car for 2022.
Okay.
So
we're going to discuss something on the podcast. You'll probably know a lot more. Actually, we can do it on the pod. We might split this into two parts, just depending on how long we go.
Yeah.
Because I like to, me and Mike discuss, we like to try to keep it reasonable. So we might stop it. Oh, sorry, guys. My hands, I don't pay attention to where my hands are.
It's like the Italian talking right there.
Right? Like, oh, man. You can definitely tell I have people from the other side of the world, because I talk to my hands all the time. So we'll probably split this up into two. So we'll probably stop this and keep going. But
cool.
Once you finish this, because the next question I have is going to be a big chunk of what you guys really know a lot about, and probably really informative for somebody like me or new listeners or even autocrossers or track racers who want to get into something like drifting, or like I said, newcomers in general who just want to get into the motorsport. So
yeah, and I have a lot to say about that, because I started with autocross, so I've been racing for like almost 10 years now. So
you've been for a while.
Yeah, so which is really cool. But yeah, anyway, so I'll give you the quick rundown of what's left on the Miata. So that's just, we're going to get the turbo on, kind of a stock motor for now, and get everything set up. I'm putting door bars in as well, because...
Now, are you doing like intercooler kit and everything, or is it... Okay, so you're doing a proper...
Right, and that's why it's like, it's taking some time and stuff, and I stopped driving this year because I wanted to get going. Because I'm making the intercooler whole setup, so it's not like a CX racing kit or something. I got a really nice Michi radiator or intercooler, and then like all my own piping. It's got an SR20 motor or turbo on it.
Okay.
So looking to be like 225, 250 horsepower.
That's gonna be fucking riot.
Yeah, it should be really good. And like, I've seen a couple guys who run.
And that's low boost, right? Like 6-7 pounds.
Yeah. And then, but this is like stage one, is get it ready, get it turboed, get it all of like the lines set up. So get my oil cooler where I want it, that kind of thing. Drive it for
oil filter location, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God. Yeah. I hated people who wanted to modify their fucking Miatas, but kept the oil filter in the stock spot.
Oh no, it's already done.
Like, you guys are assholes.
It's like up by the firewall where, Flying Miata sells a really nice kit.
Okay.
So I went with that one.
I see a lot go like behind, like kind of, maybe it's bad. Looking at the car left side, right by, kind of like behind the headlight, and that little blank spot, there's a lot that go there, and there's some that go behind the firewall. This guy just had his kit because he supercharged his.
Nice.
And he put it there because he's like, I wanted to make it easy for somebody to work on and easy to access, because he goes, I've done it once on this. He goes, I will never work on my car like this again. I will pay somebody to do my brakes.
Yeah.
But the dude's like, got to be close to 60. He's close.
Oh, for sure.
He had a riot. So yeah, so you're planning on doing some pretty beastly stuff. Like, that Miata is gonna run some big car. I don't want to say huge cars, but you'll definitely be much. I feel you'll be much more competitive. Getting your so this winter, just really getting it ready for 2021 to would you say test and tune the whole year of figuring out what do I have to switch for 2022?
A bit. So I want to, the goal is to have like a fully functioning
this
car.
Man's a fucking monster, by the way.
Oh yeah.
I've
known this man is just absolutely, like, my plans are like, they're pretty cool.
Don't move.
There's some pretty cool plans, you know, but then I've known that Adam's gonna pop out next year.
I've got my try hard pants on.
Yeah.
So I want this year to be like, I have the turbo on, I get a hydro in there because I don't have a hydro, because with 100
now,
horsepower.
Are you going to do a hydro on the rear brake, or are you going to add a second caliper? Like
dual caliper setup.
Okay.
You'll
have to teach, like, now how do you, sorry, for any listeners, I'm a pretty mechanically inclined dude. I lost a lot of my touch because I quit working on cars for probably... like heavily working on cars, like outside of maintenance, probably for 9 years, eight, 9 years.
Your body will thank you.
A long time. Like I don't even do my own oil changes and my own brakes now. Like my neighbor across the street does them. Like I'll just be like, with my limited time, I want to try to maximize what I'm doing. But I am getting more into it. So it's almost like if it's cold and I gotta book and scoot, like I might just give you the car, have you drop me off at work and drop the car off and leave the keys, unlock the car and leave the keys on under the seat. Like, I just, my hours vary so greatly. But now that winter's coming, I'll probably get back more into it, because for some reason I like working on cars in the fucking winter, because I have
nowhere
to go.
You're crazy. I did my manual swap in a barn. I did my manual swap in a barn with no heat, one outlet, and a terrible heat lamp that only worked when you were right in front of it, and no power tools. All hand tools.
I think a lot of people have lived that life.
Oh, it was so bad. It had no lights in it. It was it was a, it was like a barn. There was no way that thing was zoned out and like supposed to be there. Like that thing, I don't even know why that structure stood. I don't know how.
Let it stand.
But I built an entire BMW ready to drift, you know, shitbox in it.
But yeah, so sorry, man. Keep going.
No, it's all good.
So dual caliper setup, like, are they common to find adapters? Is it primarily the drift scene that you can find it, or can, do you know somebody who can make you an adapter? Because let me tell you, for the green one in the driveway, it sounds silly, but I would love a dual caliper setup. So if you're ever racing and you lose those brakes, you have a backup. Because I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, it's good for rallying too.
Into a corner and have. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or even just like cruising in the winter and stuff. Like, it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
You know. So, but like, for like, I think it depends on the chassis.
Okay.
But for Miata, there's like two that are you can just buy them off the shelf.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I plan on doing this in the E36 too. So there's a couple options as well.
The typical drift cars. It's a little more common to find products like this where you can go in and buy it off the shelf or order a kit worth a second kit, like. Mm-hmm. I call it loaded kits, like, you know how they have loaded caliper kits, like,
yeah,
you can buy a loaded bolt-on kit ready to go.
For the most part, it'll give you the knuckle, and then you'll have to, like, for Miata, you have to press in the hub and the bearing, and supply your own calipers and stuff.
I'm so used to Subarus that we have to press our shit anyways.
Yeah.
That's different. That's not the case with BMW, but
fuck,
go ahead.
You, BMW.
But no, go ahead, finish what you're talking about, because I think it's very interesting how different they are.
Yeah, so, like, there's two, Zerek, Zerek, I think that's how you pronounce it, fabrication.
Sounds like, I've heard of them
on
Instagram. So.
They're pretty big, I think, and they do two things. You can either buy they just came out with drop knuckles. You can buy their modified, like, stock knuckles for the dual caliper, but they also sell a jig to weld on the brackets yourself. So there's that one. Then there's the Destroyer Die Kit, which is, from what I've seen, one of the best ones. I run their front angle kit, and it's, again, it's just a drop.
You have
knuckles.
a ton of angle for a Miata.
Their kit is
there's
awesome.
A lot of the Miatas you see come to the track are usually stock angle or not very far from it, but you have a ton of angle,
which is super nice because you can just chuck my car.
Oh yeah, it the low power. I mean, that's how my angle kit is. I mean, you already know my. I have a ridiculous angle kit. Absolutely ridiculous. It is far more angle than I would ever need, but you know what? It is so nice to have.
Yeah. And I think we touched on it earlier, maybe it was before we'd started recording, but where you connect your handbrake to your stock brakes in the rear and you eliminate them from the pedal.
Yes. Let's talk about this. Or a big thing in the BMW
community. We're gonna save that for the next segment, because that kind of goes into one of my main topics of this, and I know
the don'ts.
I should say are
the do's and the don'ts. We're gonna go over the do's first.
So you're working on.
I have the E36. I'm gonna be doing a dual caliper setup on that. Now there's a couple different ways you can do it. There is a bolt-on kit that gives you longer bolts that you can just bolt right onto the old, you know, to the rear caliper mount, and it extends it over and you can put another caliper on it. But now one of the person who made my angle kit, he makes kind of like you were saying, like little jigs where it's just a little thing you weld onto the knuckle. And there's not a whole, I mean, you could buy a whole knuckle set and have it set up like that. But I mean, it's just going to be the exact same as TIG welding that little jig onto a knuckle. And
pardon the beeping, guys. I'm getting a Facebook messages.
That's all right.
Keep going. So,
so my plan is I'm the person who made my angle kit. His name is Anthony Coda. He runs Coda Belt.
Yeah, I know exactly. Okay.
Yeah, very, very, just extremely good work. I mean, it's all him, 100% him. You know, he has nobody. I've gone over there and I've said, hey, let me help out with you. And he's been like, yeah, you can push some bushings out, but like, you're not pushing anything in. You're not welding. You're not every single. Anything that goes into that kit is 100%
him. I don't trust you to touch your own car.
Pretty much. He's like, I'm not.
He's blaming me, but it's his product.
And oh yeah, and that's the biggest thing is, I mean, it. He's made over 35 angle kits now, and I mean, there's been a couple different steps. They've progressed, and I have what is the current version of it, which is the 3.5. I have 3-inch extended arms.
This is what I mean. This
control
is what I
mean. Arms.
I go to pour a splash. And I'm like, oh, well, here goes another one. Anyways,
then,
go ahead.
So I have 3-inch extended arms, and then I have the E92 tie rods, and then the offset bushings in the rear, and everything is all. It all comes with Coda's kit. It's like $500. It's
so you're gonna do another kit on the vert.
So Coda is very, very soon planning on producing laser cut arms in the same OEM BMW style, but instead they're going to be laser cut. So yeah. They're going to be one piece instead of extending the stock arm. It's
going to be a solid one.
It's going to be one solid piece. So when he does that, I'm going to put that kit on the vert because that's going to be the, you know, the top tier, the everything. And plus, he's one of my close personal friends. That you know, one of the best people that I've met from drifting.
Okay.
So I mean, I've gone up there a bunch of weekends and just hung out and just helped him do whatever. Like I said, he'll let me press out bushings. He's not going to let me. He doesn't let me do anything that goes into what is going to be the produced product. So
which you've done is pretty fair, especially if you're building
a
business.
And oh yeah, I'm just happy that I can help him and support him in the way that I can by just
even
if anything, just taking stuff apart, you know, pressing ball joints out and pressing. That's literally it. Because he goes if
shout out to Coda.
Oh yeah, hey, Anthony Coda is.
I've got an E36 coming. Let's talk.
Oh yeah. Oh you. You guys would definitely talk. If you ever are looking for, if you have an E36 and you're looking for a quality angle kit that you can
trust
produce up to 65% or 65 degrees of Ackerman, then for $500, that's a huge deal. It's a huge, huge deal. Because, I mean, the SLR kit, yeah, I saw it on the screen. I was like, oh, wow.
Right, so basically what he was saying is if you want a good product wire for an E-chassis, BMW.
E36 and E46. He also does make kits now for E46s.
We're going to give him a quick shout out. What's his Instagram? Does he have an Instagram?
Coda Built. CotaBuilt. Coda, it's hashtag CotaBuilt. And then
Pardon
on
the
Facebook.
Topic. I'm going to look this guy up.
Yeah, if you go on Facebook and you search hashtag CotaBuilt, you'll see over probably 50 people that would stand behind and say, wow, this was one of the best things I ever did for my drift car.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
And he's an incredible dude. If you have an issue or something, or, you know,
KOD.
Something's not right, hey, you know, you sent me 2 left tie rods by accident, or something, just something dumb and little, he fixes it immediately. He'll probably let you keep the other one.
Is he on your Facebook page?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I come up with a lighting company.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great dude, runs...
You know what? I'm
going to
say this.
He can't, you know.
Have him listen to this and have him hit me up because I would like to have him on.
He lives in Wisconsin, so it's a little bit of a drive for him.
We'll figure out Zoom calls and remote podcasting depending on how this world goes. But anyway, so you're turboing a Miata. You're going to get that ready for a 2022 Pro-Am.
Yeah.
Which you are taking me for a ride and Mike for a ride.
I'll tell you right now, anybody who's listening, Adam is one of probably the best quality drivers I've seen. He can run 6 different lines on the same layout and absolutely slay every single time.
So you're
like Adam is one of the few people, like I said, when he gets behind the wheel, like it doesn't matter what's going on behind him or in front of him. Like he's going to drive the hell out of his car.
It's a lot of fun and like doing rides is I can already hear my statement. Go ahead. Yeah, doing rides is like one of the best things. I think the last time I was out this season, I forget, there were like 20 people on the side, and they were just like, I had a rolling line of people coming.
Oh,
through.
Yeah.
Can I get a ride? Like, hop in?
Hop in,
let's
go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Same thing. I just keep the helmet in the passenger seat and say, yeah, throw it on.
That's what it's all about for me.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, drifting, like, if you go to car shows and stuff, especially now, like, 2020 car shows, like, you show up, no one's going to walk up to you and say, oh, hey, you know, what's in your car? People are all going to, they're going to stay in their own little groups. They don't really, you know, there's fights and stuff. It's ridiculous. You go to the drift track, you're there for 10 minutes, and you've already met 5-6 people that, you know, have the same car as you and are eager to talk to you about what you've done to your car and what they've done to their car and how, like, you can share information to make both of the cars better.
So, you know, I think definitely, if you guys want to ride, come out next year. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, man. I will buy they still, they actually, there's actually drifting.
I think have a helmet. I have a spare one, too.
There's actually drifting right now. They're drifting right now.
I know.
At GLD, they're having an event.
You know, the live stream, we'll throw it on, and I have to have a thing, because I've only gotten to watch your Snapchat. I've never gotten to watch it live.
Yeah, I post, anyone who, if you know me personally, and you have my Snapchat, you know, I run a TV show. And especially when I was dailying the drift car, it was very, very entertaining. Let's just say that.
Fair enough. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to stop the episode here. Before we get into the next segment, because the next segment is probably going to take just as long. If you guys have time, I have nothing to do. I have to go sometime today eat lunch.
I have to go grab his motor after this, but I can kind of push that back to...
how far away is he?
Just blinds.
Yeah, he's going to have to wait.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to wait a little bit anyway.
Alright, so what we're going to do is we're going to pause this right here real quick, guys. So, just as someone who doesn't listen to the next episode... I gotta talk to Mike, see if we wanna hit episode,
yeah.
Or if we wanna delay it. We gotta see what's going on. So we'll see you guys next week.
Possibly see you next week, but I'll be here.
Maurice, where can they find you on social media?
So you can find me just about anywhere. Maurice Keating, RYCEKEATI.
_ Keating.
I mean,
Instagram, you gotta be
doing Instagram. Instagram, I pretty much only post car stuff, so it's just Royce_836. I'm pretty sure.
What about your?
I use Facebook. Oh yes, of course, Kings of Chaos.
Shout out to Kings of Chaos.
Big ol' shout out to Kings of Chaos.
That's why I need another one.
Oh yes. I run a brand called Kings of Chaos. It's spelled XHAO. It's Greek letters, but it's a very
right there.
It's a right very, there. I know. I keep moving. Every time I look up at it, I'm like, oh, just shit.
I gotta put a picture up so he just stares at the picture.
Oh yeah, just have me stare at the thing right there. But I run an automotive brand. We do just basically just cars should be for everybody, and just a lot of the same respect and family feeling that comes from the drift track, you know. If you want a sticker, you want to rep Kings of Chaos, absolutely. You know, you can reach out to me personally on Facebook. You can reach out to the page on Facebook.
They can hit us up, and I'll make sure that.
Yeah, you know, if anybody wants anything, you just absolutely. I got T-shirts, we got stickers, got a couple different designs.
Do you have hats again?
I'm working on beanies right now. Because I'm a big beanie. I got long hair, so in the winter I like a beanie. I like a one fold. It might be a one fold. I'm not gonna lie.
See if you can get a straight ski fat, because I like the single ones.
Yeah.
Let me see the size of this thing. The headphones are as big as my damn head.
Yeah, that's very true.
But so basically social media, look at Royce Keating.
Yeah, Royce Keating, Rolls Royce and then KEATING. You can find me anywhere. Like I said, I run Snapchat, a TV show on Snapchat. If you really want to follow that, that's Royce_Keating. That one's fun. That's a lot of good vibes, random slides, and
a lot of funny content. I was having a bad day.
Just who I am. It's just a representation of who I am. I used to put a lot of time into it, and now I kind of just go, you know what? I'm just gonna post whatever I find enjoyable. So
Because we can definitely go with that. Adam, where can they find you? Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
I deleted my Snapchat and Instagram just because I was like, I'm spending so much time here. But I'm back on Instagram, so it is adam.b.racing.
I'm going to look this up right now.
There's like nothing there because I got back on it 2 days ago.
Me and Adam driving together.
So let's see, I've got his Instagram right now. It's at adam.b.racing. Come check the page out. Look him up on the page. He's on there. We've got Royce on there. You can follow Mike and me as well. Like, we have Royce on there. So is there a particular platform you prefer somebody to reach out to?
Oh, just hit me up on Instagram. Like, I'm back on now, and it's going to be just dedicated to just racing. Before it was like, this is going to be just like for the racing and for fun and stuff. Hit me up on there. Like, I have a decent amount of knowledge for motocross and drifting and type and stuff.
I didn't want to bring Adam on it just because drives are me out too.
So, I'm just happy to like give rides, let people drive my car, and get the best that I can.
I kind of noticed that before.
Yeah. I'm gonna call this one if you guys can hear us. We'll be back.